When I was in second grade, our family moved from a tiny student apartment to a little house in Nashville, Tennessee. And that house had a small raised vegetable patch in the back of the yard. And it also had a perfect place to cultivate compost. So that year, my mother decided to plant a vegetable garden. When spring came, we planned and we sowed careful rows of seeds, beans and carrots, tomatoes and leafy greens, all kinds of wonderful vegetables for us to feast on come fall. We carefully watered and tended our garden, although to be honest, it was mostly my mother. And soon, little shoots began to appear. But we noticed that some of these shoots were not in careful rows. And they did not look like beans, nor tomatoes, nor carrots, or leafy greens. But they also weren't weeds. And that much was clear. My mother recognized these plants. And as they started to grow, we realized that they were pumpkins. And these pumpkin plants were on a mission. They snaked all over this garden. They went up the wall of the garage, over the raised brick beds, across the back sidewalk, underneath the blacktop where we parked the car, and then over the blacktop where we parked the car. By late fall, they were growing huge orange orbs underneath big leafy greens. And by the end of the fall, they had started on towards the house. None of us could figure out where these pumpkins had come from. Until one fine day, it occurred to my mother that our family had made jack-o'-lanterns at Halloween. And the hollowed-out pumpkin pulp had gone into the compost. And in Nashville, it doesn't freeze. And so the compost spread all over the garden had actually been filled with very well-nourished pumpkin seeds. Whenever I think of the parable of the mustard seed, this is the story that I remember. And Jesus often talks about the kingdom of God or the work of faith, like caring for a plant, like pruning a vine, or sowing a seed, or harvesting grain. And sometimes he refers to the careful work of a caretaker. But sometimes he talks about the kingdom of God like a kind of plant that needs no tending, the kind of plant that is unstoppable, inexplicable, and uncontrolled even by the best of human efforts. And the parable of the mustard seed is one such story. But you know, we throw the word parable around a lot in church. So much so that, in fact, we may assume that we know what it means. But we are not living in first century Palestine. And so the meaning of the word parable may not be immediately clear. So what is a parable? A parable is a story, a metaphorical story that can be taken at face value, but can also be explored beyond just face value. My favorite way of understanding what a parable is comes from Godly Play, the curriculum that we use with our kids in Sunday school. In the Godly Play circle, parables are presented in golden boxes. And before the story begins, the box is closed. There are no identifying features and no way of knowing what is inside the box. And it's supposed to be this way. A parable needs to be opened with intent. The storyteller explains to the circle that the story is precious, like gold. And this box is shaped like a present, And it is a gift that was given long ago, that we have already received. This box has a lid, because parables are complicated. They are sometimes closed to us, and we cannot understand what they say, no matter how much we try or how ready we feel. A parable is less of a thing or a rhetorical tool and more of a practice. It is not a lesson to memorize with a clear answer, but a story that does work on us so that we might grow closer to God. And Jesus speaks in parables about God because God is known not like one thing or one person or one idea, but like a story that you can keep coming back to and keep seeing new things. So this Sunday morning, we have two parables to play with. The more well-known is the parable of the mustard seed, and the less well-known is the parable of the hidden seed. And so, what pieces of God are we being invited to know through these stories? There are many sides to these parables, but when I approach them today, what I see is the way in which the kingdom of God is presented as something at work without our intervention, perhaps even in spite of us. The hidden seed germinates and grows into a full harvest without our knowledge, and the mustard seed is abundant without our tending. You see, mustard in the ancient world was famous for that. You could just drop it on the ground and it would just explode. It sprouted almost immediately and ran wild. It was a medicinal plant, highly useful and very spicy, so it went into food. But it was very easy to cultivate. Any Joe could grow this stuff, and any Joe could pull off a few of the leaves and use it for their own healing. When I hear these stories, I hear a promise that the kingdom of God is alive and well, even when we have not willed it to be so, and even in spite of our propensity for generating evil. And this does not mean that we are off the hook, or that we ought to be obstinate against God's commandment to love others. Certainly, mustard is more useful when it is cultivated, and grain is most useful when it is actually harvested. But in these stories, there is a promise that the kingdom of God cannot be stopped by the ways in which we fail. And the news is ripe these days with the ways in which we fail. At our Wednesday service, Blair asked us to think about what sorts of modern-day parables we see and experience every day. And this goes well with our spiritual practice this summer, a practice of noticing the Holy Spirit. So this week, I invite you into this practice of parable. I invite you to notice the stories that God is telling us and to play with them. And I want to leave you with an example of my own. I hope to offer you a sense of hope or strength or perhaps even comic relief as we all try to learn how to live into the way of Jesus in these demanding times. The kingdom of God is like a raccoon that decided to climb a skyscraper. And though this raccoon represents a rather undesirable member of the urban wildlife community, its staggering climb of 20 stories in downtown St. Paul attracted the love and the attention and the awe of the entire world and news outlets as far as Australia. This raccoon brought the internet to a standstill and all of humanity, for a moment, became inspired by its strange and unbelievable tenacity. What story is God telling you? Amen.